This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to everybody that's joining us on the live stream. Everybody, all our Hope family, I'm so excited about what God is about to do. What's on the other side of all this? Everything that we're going through as a nation, everything that we're going through in Florida, everything that we're going through as families, God has something for us on the other side. And that's just been burning in my heart. But let's pray before we get started. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you would just touch our hearts. God, let us hear what we need to hear today. Father, inspire us with your word. God, challenge us with your word. God, give us the tools that we need to be successful in this life and in this hour. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. You can type amen. We can be interactive today. All right. Let's go to 1 Samuel 17, if you will. 1 Samuel 17. And this is where the story of David and Goliath happens. And so let me read with you. It says, the Philistines now mustered their army for the battle and camped between Soko in Judah and Azekah in Ephesdammon. And Saul countered by gathering the Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with a valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet. His bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield, and Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you coming out to fight? He called. I'm a Philistine champion, but you're only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we'll be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. I want to share some things with you today because I know that there's some things on the horizon. What happened was the Philistines, they lined up and they could see, the Israelites could see, the people of God could see there were some problems on the horizon. There was an enemy that was becoming visible. And sometimes the battle becomes, it's psychological at first. You see it, it's out there. It might not be clear, it might be a little hazy, but you begin to get stressed. You begin to get anxious about what is to come, what is on the horizon, what's there. And this is what happens in this story. The Philistines begin to muster their army. They begin to come together. And the Israelites see there is an issue there. But then Goliath steps out of the ranks. We have these moments when now the problem has a face. It's a little bit more specific. We know exactly what we're dealing with. And the problem is it's intimidating. I don't know if you've been at a place that things have been intimidating. Circumstances have been intimidating. The enemy that has come against you has got a face and it's intimidating. The body armor that he was wearing, 125 pounds of coat mail. He's got bronze leg armor. This is beautiful armor. This is fantastic, spectacular looking. This guy right here is the top athlete. He's the champion fighter from Gath. And it was intimidating to the people of God. There are some things that the enemy throws at you, and he wants to try to intimidate you with the size, the magnitude of the problem. I don't care how big the problem looks. I don't care how huge it seems. If God is for you, who can be against you? We're going to look at this because this is amazing. Even though we come against large problems, even though we come against things that look completely impossible, we serve a God that has something for us on the other side. There's something on the other side of your giant. There was something for David on the other side of Goliath. There was something for the people of God on the other side of this battle that was even greater. And so Goliath stood and shouted a taunt. Let me tell you something. The enemy is going to try to intimidate you. He's going to try to play a psychological game with you. He's going to try to put some thoughts in your mind. He's going to try to introduce fear into the equation, because that's what giants do. That's what problems do. That's what the enemy does. He tries to shout a taunt, insults. He tries to intimidate you. But I want to tell you today, I want to encourage you today, do not be intimidated. Go ahead and type that right now. Do not, I won't be intimidated. You type, I won't be intimidated. That this is important that we understand this as the children of God. We will not be intimidated by the enemy. And then Goliath says this. This is a key strategy of the enemy. He says, choose one. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. You see, the enemy is always trying to isolate. Don't let yourself be isolated in this season. Even though you might be in isolation, don't be isolated. Even though you might, you know, feel like you're alone in your house, you're not alone. There's people that are believing with you. There's some brothers and sisters in Christ that love you. There's some people that God has already put around you. You don't have to do it alone. The enemy wants to say, come down here by yourself. Come down here alone. I want to fight you one-on-one. Don't do that. David refused to fight Goliath one-on-one. You might say, well, I thought he fought Goliath one-on-one. No, he didn't fight Goliath one-on-one. He took the name of the Lord and he took the presence of God with him. He didn't go empty-handed. He had God with him when he entered there. See, the devil can try to call you out today and say, come down here and fight me all by yourself. But you can say, no way, devil. I'm taking God with me. No way, devil, I'm taking a brother or sister with me. No way, devil, I'm taking some people that know how to fight and I'm taking them with me, because you don't have to fight the way the devil tries to prescribe. You don't have to play by his rules. He's gonna say, come down here by yourself, but don't go alone. Amen. And so he says, if he kills me, then I will be your slave. And if I kill him, then we'll be your slaves. You see, the enemy is always after to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil wants to kill your faith. He wants to kill your future. He wants to kill your mobility and just get you paralyzed right where you are. But I want to tell you something. Don't let your dream die. Don't allow dream killers near you. Don't let the devil intimidate you out of what God has called you to do. Don't let the devil intimidate you out of the promises of God. So he's trying to kill the faith. He's already sucked the faith out of the Israelite army. Now he's trying to suck the faith out of David. He's trying to kill the faith. The first way that the enemy beats you is by killing your faith. If you start to not talk faith anymore, and now you're starting to doubt, you're starting to just think about it in natural ways. No, don't do that. Don't let anybody take your faith away. No matter how friendly, somebody close, somebody far away, somebody on the news. No, I don't let anybody kill my faith. That's what the enemy tries to do. And so now this is what happens when David shows up. I love this. In verse 26, David asked the soldiers standing nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine? Man, I hope when you show up and whatever problem that you face, you need to be asking the right question. David shows up and he says, what's on the other side? I see that there's a Philistine. I see there's a problem. I see there's a giant. But what I want to know is, what is the reward? What's on the other side of this battle? That's the question you need to be asking yourself today. Not is what are the particulars or what I'm going through. No, have the spirit like David, the spirit of what's on the other side. What's the reward for the person that whips this problem? What's the reward for the person that overcomes? What's the reward for the person that's more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus? What's my reward when I whip this thing? David said, what's on the other side? I love that. And furthermore, he says, who is this pagan Philistine anyways that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? You need to have the mentality of when you look at your giant, you said, what? Who does this giant think they are? Who does this problem think they are? I serve a big God. You need to right now look at whatever you're facing, whatever seems daunting in your life, and you need to stare it back in the face and say, who do you think you are? Just type that in right now. Who do you think you are? And whatever the circumstance is, you know what you're talking to today. You know what the problem is. You know who the enemy is. You got to say, who do you think you are? Because David knew how big his God was. Who is this today that is defying the word of God? Who is this that's trying to intimidate me? What is this today that's trying to cause fear in me and defying the promises of God? What is this problem that it thinks? What is this enemy that they think that they can defy God's purpose in my life? Nobody. That giant might have been big in the natural, but that giant was nobody. Nobody in the spirit. And this is the type of God confidence that we need. We got to have God confidence. We got to have a confidence in God that is so strong that we can look at the biggest giants. We can look at the biggest problems. We can look at the most daunting things that seem impossible and say, who do you think you are? I love it. And then he's going through and he's asking this question. David's asking this question. You know, what does the person get? What's on the other side? What's the reward for the person that whips this guy? And everybody's giving David the same reply. Verse 27 says that there's a reward for killing him. But then David's older brother, get this, Eliab heard David was talking to the men and he was angry. Listen. You got to watch out. There's sometimes some people, even well-intending, that they're going to respond in the natural. They're going to see that giant that's in your life. They're going to see that problem that's in your life, and they're going to try to talk you down. Not only do you have to deal with the shakedown that the enemy's trying to give, you have to deal with the shakedown that people that are around you sometimes are going to give. David's own brother, his older brother, the one that he looked up to now, he's saying, what are you doing here, man? Get out of here. And he was angry. He said in verse 28, what are you doing around here anyways? You know, you cannot listen to people that are speaking from a natural perspective. You cannot listen to people that are not responding by faith. There was a moment when Jesus had to turn to Peter and say, get behind me, Satan. And it wasn't because Peter was Satan. It's because what was coming out of Peter's mouth in that moment was satanic. What was coming out of Peter's mouth in that moment was not from God. It was from the enemy. And sometimes you got to be able to recognize. Sometimes there's somebody around you. It was Jesus' star pupil. Sometimes it's somebody that's real close to you that's going to say something that you got to say, get that behind me. Get that out of my life. Get that out of my ears. I don't need to hear that right now because I am operating by faith. And so David, he doesn't listen to his older brother. He doesn't listen to his older brother. He's not moved by the fact that David's older brother is angry. And so he keeps on talking. He keeps on asking this question until he gets the ear and he gets an audience with the king. And he goes to the king when he gets called in and he says, don't worry about this Philistine. I will fight him. Don't worry about this problem. I will whip it. And look at this. Saul replied, don't be ridiculous. So not only is he having to deal with somebody that is close to him that's saying you can't do it, he's dealing with somebody that he looks up to, somebody that's in a position, also telling him you can't do it. Let me tell you something. If God has put something in your heart, If God has placed something in your spirit, if God has stirred up faith for you in this moment, you need to act on that faith. You need to move forward with boldness. You need to ask, what's on the other side for me? What's on the other side for my family? What's on the other side for my future? What's on the other side of this pandemic? What's on the other side? You see, I'm more concerned about what's on the other side. What does God have waiting for me? David had a crown waiting for him on the other side. What does God have waiting for you on the other side? I love it. He says, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. And he's so persistent. And this faith is so unmoving that Saul finally caves in. Let me tell you something. If you got enough faith, people around you are going to start falling in line with your faith position. You see, faith is a powerful weapon. Faith is a powerful motivator. Faith is a powerful shield. Faith is powerful in the life of the believer, but you got to stay persistent with it. David stays persistent. He's a man of faith. And finally, even the heart of the king, he says, all right, go ahead. And may the Lord be with you. He changed the king's mind because of the faith in his spirit. I hope today that you can allow the faith of God to be stirred in you so much that it begins to transform people around you. Isn't that what the good news is all about? When the faith of God is so strong and so persistent and so obvious in our life that people around us begin to be transformed by our faith. What a faith. What a faith. And he says, okay, go ahead and may the Lord be with you. And then he says, okay, I want you to try on some of this armor. This stuff has worked for me before. It looks good. It works well. Go ahead and put my armor on and go on out into battle. And then he says, I can't go in these. I can't go in these, verse 39. And so David took them off and he picks up 5 smooth stones. Listen to me. Don't go into the battle with what worked for somebody else. Don't go into the battle with someone else's spirituality. You need to have your own revelation. You need to have your own connection. You need to have your own relationship with God. When you go into the battle, you need to use what God has placed in your hands. See, far too often we're looking at what has worked for somebody else, looking at what someone else has in their hand, what gifts they have, what circumstances they have going on in their life. Don't look at that. Don't be worried about what someone else's armor, what someone else's gifts, what someone else's skill set, what someone else's weapons. Use the thing that God has given you in your hand. He didn't take the flashy armor. He didn't take the flashy sword. He took 5 smooth stones. They looked average, but they were giant killers. You see, the thing that God has already placed in your life, if you'll just trust in God and stir up faith, that thing that looks average, God is going to bring down giants in your life. God is going to bring victories into your life. God is going to open up doors and reveal what's on the other side with what seems average in your life. Sometimes we look at our own gifts. We look at our own abilities. We look at the people that we know and we say, this stuff is average. This is just 5 smooth stones. What can God do with this? But let me tell you something. God shaped the course of the nation with a young boy and 5 smooth stones. Don't you think that God can use something non-assuming in your life? Some gift that you need to dust off and pull back off the shelf? God can use something in you that you hadn't used in a few years, and God's going to bring it, flip it, and show you how he can use it in this season to show you what's on the other side. Because God's got a blessing. God's got a promise. God's got a promised land. God's got a crown. God's got something for you waiting on the other side. And so he goes into this battle. And verse 45, David replies. First off, Goliath curses him. Okay, this isn't something new, because we know that we enter into circumstances when our enemies and our problems are that they're trying to intimidate us. They're trying to name call. They're trying to do all these things. But verse 45, David replies to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come in the name of the Lord of the heaven's armies. Man, I hope you get this. It doesn't matter how it looks in the natural. In the spiritual, David stepped up in faith and said, you're coming at me with stuff, but I'm coming at you with God. You're coming at me with weapons that are in the natural. I'm coming to you in the name of the living God and the power of the living God. You just picked a fight with the wrong person. I hope that you can see this today. If you can grab a hold of this, God wants to show you. God wants to reveal to you. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. It could be the biggest enemy. It could be the biggest problem with all this arsenal of weapons. And to God, that's just stuff. David said from his perspective, you're coming at me with stuff. You think it's awesome. You think you got all this military technology. He said, but I come to you with the living God. I come to you. I'm not coming by myself. I'm coming with the head of the angel armies. I'm coming with all the host of heaven. I'm coming with an army so big you can't even fathom. You're coming at me with one sword and one javelin and one spear, and I'm coming at you with a whole army. And so today we have to realize, don't go into the battle by yourself. Don't go into the battle by yourself. Go into the battle with faith. Go into the battle persistent with your faith. And he said, verse 46, today the Lord will conquer you and I will kill you and cut off your head. Let me tell you something. Some of you need to just cut off the head of your problems. Once God already gets it going, you need to go ahead and finish the job. You see, David understood it was teamwork. Your purpose is teamwork between you and God. Where God has taken you, the victories that you'll fight, the battles that you'll win, it's got to be teamwork. You see, David didn't go there by himself. He said, today the Lord will conquer you and I will kill you. See, that's teamwork. When you come at your problems, when you come at your circumstances that are so big, don't do it alone. Take God with you and allow God to conquer and you to do teamwork with him. I want to tell you, God has victories and God has something on the other side of what you're going through, no matter what you're going through. And I know there's some things that we're going through together as a nation. There's some things that we're going through as South Floridians. There's some things, though, that are specific to your family. There's some things that are specific to your destiny that God wants to give you victory on the other side. God wants to give you victory on the other side. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's it's something financially. Maybe it's something with your employment. God wants to show you today what's on the other side. God wants to give you a vision of where he wants to take you. God wants to give you something in your spirit that's going to stir up faith. Let me pray with you right now. God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's listening to this broadcast. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to them right now. You're speaking to them, God, and you're stirring up faith. God, so often we lose sight of what's on the other side. But God, you want to remind us today that there is something beautiful. There is something amazing. There is something beyond what we could ask or think, and it's on the other side. And you want to give us a glimpse of that today. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you stir up faith, God, and you give us the courage to be persistent in our faith, because we know if we're persistent in our faith and we obey what you've given us to do, it's only a matter of time before we are on the other side. And maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I drifted away, or maybe I just never really gave God 100%, and I want to do that today. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, thank you for everything you've done for me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for taking all my sins away and giving me a fresh start. Jesus, I'm sorry for all my sins and shortcomings. Forgive me. Help me to start anew. Jesus, teach me how to live like you. Teach me how to follow your example. And teach me how to walk into the other side. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God the praise. He is a good God. And I'm excited for what God is about to do for you on the other side. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.